Welcome back to Pax Europiana, the podcast about peace in Europe. And this is about the EU days, and that's the 5th of March. I want to talk about it. And the podcast is called The Price for Peace in Europe. And that's very important for me now to analyze and discuss how to really make peace in the Balkans, especially between Kosovo and Serbia. Because to this day, in 2021, unfortunately, there is not mutual recognition and the situation between the two countries is still very tense. And how really to settle that? What can Europe do? What can America do? What can the world do? And what Kosovo and Serbia can do and all their friends and partners and neighbors in the Balkans? This I will discuss on the 5th of March. That's a very important day. It's the European Precast Day. I have already made a podcast about that terrible day because it's the day when the Kosovo Liberation War is supposed to start. In reality, it is the day where the Serb terrorist extremist militia and this kind of special forces, which is a terrorist group, a state terrorist group, they have killed 59 civilians and civilians. They were basically civilians, armed civilians maybe, but they have killed them in the village of Prikaz in the west of Pristina on this day in the year 98, which is generally seen as the start of the Kosovo Liberation War. And I have made the podcast already, but in basic terms, what happened on that day, shortly to be explained, as a reprisal reprisal, you understand, it's this kind of when the military makes, like in the World War II or also in Vietnam War, where innocent civilians are punished for guerrilla activities in occupied territory. Basically, this is how Serbia has behaved at that time under Milosevic. And there was not a real apology up to now. That's the day I would like to discuss today. The history I have already outlined. Now about the price for peace. Because when it was now 23 years ago and that this tragic event happened, now 23 years ago, it's time for peace in the Balkans. And there is a window of opportunity because Europe is ready and I hope will also deliver. But especially a real friend of the Balkans is in the White House in the most powerful position. And Russian power is waning because of the corona crisis, but also because Putin has overextended fully and also many factors. So there is an opportunity for a settled peace agreement between Kosovo and Serbia, and also to settle the situation in Bosnia. And all the injustice and crimes of the past, they can be now somehow, they will never be forgotten, and they shouldn't be. And the victims have always to be honored by remembering them. And everybody should be at least once in his life in Prikaz and honor the victims of that terrible deed. And also their sacrifice. But it's important to now build a stable, sustainable peace order in the Balkans by mutual recognition between Serbia and Kosovo, by also a dialogue to also repent the sins of the Serbian aggression, but also in some ways a dialogue of forgiveness and of reconciliation. This is also important. There is no doubt about it. That must be based on clarity who committed which crimes. And there can be no kind of genocidal revisionism in the Balkans, in the European Union. And it must be that we have now clarity. And then the road for peace will be open. And how can such a peace deal work? And how and what is also, as I say in the title of the podcast, what's the price of peace? And are we ready to pay it? Because it's quite simple. What I want to propose is a peace treaty between Kosovo and Serbia, negotiated with the help of the European Union and NATO, and of course led by America, so different format than the present dialogue about technical things, which can be continued. You know, there's a lot of technical things which don't necessarily need to be part of the peace treaty, because the peace treaty really should focus on the four or five major items. And that's that Serbia is allowed to adopt the euro prior to EU membership, immediately, basically, in the framework of this peace treaty. And that means, basically, the peace is sealed by the euroization of Serbia. So Serbia to scrap this dinar, which was never a very good currency, and it has anyhow in European Union, we have the euro. So to front load the euroization of Serbia as part of the peace deal. That's the first one. Kosovo and Montenegro have already the euro. And obviously Bosnia, Macedonia and also Albania should euroize as well prior to the membership. So basically now I'm talking about 2021, 2022. This can also happen already in advance of the official signing of the peace treaty to smooth the resistance in Serbian public against the recognition. Because when the Serbian people will understand that Europeans are really very serious with them, serious in terms of integration and membership, and the euro as the visible symbol of this integration and membership already now, that is, I think, will smooth many of the problems. The euro is already a secondary currency in Serbia. Many of the big items consumer goods can buy, like cars, like apartments, are already discussed in euro terms. Yeah? In Serbia, and like all the Balkans, it's the same for all six countries, and that much, most of the investment, not only the donor, but also the private investment, but also the remittances, which are the key economic source. Remittances means the Serbs or Albanians or Bosnians living in the Eurozone, in Austria, in Germany, in Italy, and sending money back from their work income in these countries. And so this is the most important economic driver in all the countries. There is no doubt about it. Foreign direct investment or state investment is not as big as the investment coming from the foreign investment from the Eurozone and from the remittances, and also from the EU support, and also from the bilateral support, also from the funding. So here is basically the euroization is so important. And once this, I think the Serbian public will understand that now it's time to be very serious. There will be some extremists who will also oppose the recognition. So we have to prepare also for violent protests, as there were when Montenegro has recognized, or in the various stages of independence of Kosovo. There will be violence in Belgrade, and the authorities have to prepare for that. But the euro is a very clear signal for the Serb middle class that we are really very serious. And additionally, what else can be done is the opening of the labor market, of the European labor market, for all six Western Balkan countries on the same basis like we have the Romanians in the European labor market as EU members, obviously. And no transition period. We don't need that. And, you know, the six countries together have about the same population as Romania. And we have managed the Romanian integration in the EU labor market. Why we shouldn't manage the integration of the six countries in the labor market? And it's not that they can automatically then reside everywhere like EU members. That's for later once they are member. But that they can work there. If they have a labor contract, then they can work everywhere. And that would be so easy. And that's technically so unproblematic, and that is it's a price to pay, but it's a price where everybody anyhow has to work for that price. Yeah, we just have to break some of these socialist and nationalist dogmas about blocking our labor market, yeah? Which anyhow we had overcome already, but recently we have more nationalists and socialists, and even in the Christian Democratic Party, the nationalists and the socialists have taken power. And so they are all these defenders and closers of borders. They are evil, and they are very evil. And we have to make sure that the opening of the labor market for the Western Balkans is part of the peace deal. and a reward, which is clearly in power the moment Serbia signs the peace treaty and the recognition. That's the second thing, the euro and the labor market. Then also economically very important and also not so problematic for us to do as the European Union is the investment bank is anyhow the most important donor and supporter of infrastructure in Serbia and Kosovo and everywhere in the Balkans. But to buy into the three main sectors of the Serbian economy as part of this agreement, to buy out the Gazprom stake in the in Nice. Nice is the Serbian energy company, like the OMV of Austria or the MOL in Hungary. It's Nice. And this is the big state-owned company, but it is no longer owned mainly by the state. They have still a minority share, but they sold it in 2008 in a very dodgy, undervalued deal to Gazprom, and that must be changed. And so the EIB can buy that back, and the Russians will get the fair market evaluation, like in any deal, maybe also make a profit, and that's also an acceptable price for peace. And so we reduce the Russian stranglehold on the Serbian economy. That's very important. And also buy 49% of the Serb railway company and 49% of the Serbian motorway holding. And also on fair evaluation and being generous and also fund the construction of railway and of highway via the EIB more generously. We are a little bit stingy, and that's why also the old Balkan countries have to run to the Chinese, because we Europeans in the last 10 years have been a bit stingy, and we are not living up to the promises and to the challenges. And then the Chinese are building the highways and the railways, or the Turks. That's good, they can do that. I'm not against that in principle, but it's also because we are basically not doing our job. And that's a price to pay for peace. I think, yes, war is extremely expensive. I want to remind everybody, it sounds maybe, you know, we just do a war, but every kind of cruise missile costs a lot of money. And it's much better investing in infrastructure. It is really bringing prosperity also to us present European taxpayers directly when there is a better infrastructure to connect with Turkey and Asia via the Balkans. So it's very justified to do that, and it's the price for peace, and I call for that. So then also very clearly the membership of NATO for both countries. First for Kosovo, the partnership of peace, and that's the first level of accession. And also Serbia is already in the partnership for peace. That can be easily done for Kosovo in 2021 already. And then both countries in a dialogue to join. And the signing of the peace treaty already and the membership of NATO simultaneously can be done easily. Was done very fast for Greece and Turkey in 52. And you can compare Greece and Turkey in some, if you want to have a comparison. Greece obviously is the Orthodox power, and Turkey the Islam power, in a much smaller context. And also Greece was part of the Turkish Empire. You can discuss it like that if you want. But, you know, the logical parallel is quite easy. Both simultaneously in NATO signed. And, you know, in Serbia, a lot of people are against it. They will make protest. But no matter, we have a lot of anti-American protests in Greece. Yeah, there was unbelievable anti-Americanism in Greece and in Turkey. I even think 2003, when Turkey didn't allow the 3rd Armored Division to invade Iraq via Turkish territory and had to go around by ship, yeah, and making the whole military operation much more complicated, while as being a NATO ally, remember that. Yeah? That was a very crucial moment in history. I will talk about it later. But the situation is also in Greece. Greece was the most anti-American country, and still today there is a lot of conspiracy against America in Greece, in Turkey. So we have this precedent. There will be the same in Serbia, but no matter. It's much better to seal the peace and the security of Serbia and of Kosovo in NATO, and the leadership must be done. If Mr. Vucic is serious with a European future, he explains that, he communicates that, he signs the accession, he has the majority in the parliament by far, because it's very controlled economy and democracy, and all this can be later addressed once Serbia is member of EU and NATO, and it will be. We can also democratize Serbia inside NATO and inside EU. We don't have always to take this kind of only perfect countries will join NATO and EU, and they must be more perfect than Denmark. Yeah? This is probably very impossible. And people who say that, like many of my friends from the center-left, yeah, they always say, no, conditionality is so good. With this force, we pressure the country into perfection. It has never worked and it will never work. So the way to get countries in and then reform them inside is now discredited by this Russian proxy Orban, I understand that, and by the backslash of democracy in Poland. But nevertheless, this is only temporary. We will also, there will be democracy, a better democracy in Hungary back again and in Poland back again. It is not that just because one party temporarily wins election that everything is wrong, what we ever did. Yeah? No. That's absolutely intellectual to be rejected and it's wrong. So fast accession to NATO is the way to do it. And then also the consequent reforms will be a result of that. So then also for EU. Obviously, it's clear that once NATO membership is achieved in 2024, the peace treaty, mutual recognition, then we go in the next level, that's EU membership, and then can these three countries, like Bosnia, Serbia and Kosovo, together, simultaneously, join the European Union in 2027-28 to vote already, and that's the important parameter, to vote in the 2029 European Parliament election. And that will be, you know, they will be in a way united as independent countries inside the alliance NATO, inside the political union, that's EU, in 2029. And that's basically all again back united in the European structures. And that's, I think, the way for peace. Yeah. And I'm absolutely in favor of exactly that the timeline. And exactly, it's important to first do the euro, and then NATO, and then the European Union. And as Germany yesterday, the foreign minister has invited Serbia to the EU, it's also very important to invite Serbia to NATO from the German side and from all European side, because it was very surprising a German foreign minister, who is one of the lead powers in NATO, has forgotten it in front of the Serbian foreign minister, to somehow take sensitivities on the bombing of Serbia. And that, as I've said also on my video, and some people didn't like it, but I have to express it once again, the bombing of Belgrade in 99 was as justified as the bombing of Nazi Germany and Nazi Austria in the 40s, in the Second World War. You know, when you do genocide and when you wage war, there is a consequence. There is consequence. And in this world we live, luckily we have America, which is ready to fight dictators and wage wars against genocidal dictatorships and to fight for freedom. It's an amazing thing that there is a power in the world ready for that. Because many would maybe shy away from the costs and from the enormous expenses and from the terrible costs in blood and treasure which such wars of freedom and liberation result in. And Milosevic was a terrorist, a terror regime. Yugoslavia was, of course, comparing it with Nazi Germany in the size and in significance, it was relatively much smaller. But for the people who live under the kind of suppression of such a terror regime like the Albanians and the Bosnians, and then, you know, the difference is they are killed by such a regime. And this was exact. And the conquest of land, like Hitler wanted to take Ukraine and Eastern Europe in his German empire, so wanted Milosevic to integrate Kosovo and Bosnia in his empire. So where's the difference, ultimately? And for the people who are then under in living in a state which should protect them and are killed by such a state, and that's basically a very small difference. Yeah? And, you know, I don't compare it in the size and significance. You know, everything is, of course, different in different times and different regions. But the same principle applies. It was justified to do the war. It was justified to bomb Belgrade. It was justified to remove a dictator who is doing genocide. Yeah? That's what we always should do everywhere. Unfortunately, we couldn't do it in Chechnya because of the nuclear arms of Russia. That's, of course, sadly impossible. But in the case of Milosevic, he was told it will happen. He was warned many times. He knew it will happen. He thought it will not because we are somehow too weak to do it. But we were not. You know, and everybody who was supporting his regime was maybe thinking that we are joking, but we didn't. And so it was very highly justified. Yeah? And people who think that was unfair, like we have also Nazis in Austria still, in Germany still, you know, very few, of course, luckily. And they are also still now today unhappy that America won the Second World War. But it's very good that America won the Second World War and liberated us from this terror regime. And the same is to be said about 99 and 2000, the 5th of October. That's really a day for all Europeans to celebrate when this terrorist Milosevic was defeated. So that's basically the road to peace. It needs also some kind of coping with the past. We need to be very clear with our Serbian friends. They want to be members of the European Union and NATO and of the West. That's very welcome, but not on a kind of genocidal narrative. So there must be also apologizes to Croatia, to Bosnia, to Montenegro, and to Kosovo. And there must be clarity that they committed the crimes, they committed the aggressions. And based on that, obviously, membership is possible, obviously. And it's also welcome, I said already. Euroize Serbia, open the labor market, buy all this infrastructure, build more, and join NATO and the EU. And that's really, I feel, be a very successful, wonderful future together, united as a European Union, also later then including Ukraine, Georgia, Moldova, for a EU of 37. Perfect and excellent. Yeah? But let me also be very clear, if Serbia is not ready for the euro, not ready for peace, not ready for repenting sins, not ready for the necessary kind of process to achieve all this, and not ready for peace, then okay, we have to contain Serbia as the only country not in NATO, but it will also never join the European Union. So let's be very clear, it's an illusion otherwise. Yeah? Without this process of recognition of Kosovo and without the process of joining NATO and repenting the sins, all the other beautiful things like Serbian in labor market, with the infrastructure, with membership and equality in Europe will not come and it will never come. And you can join the CSTO of Russia and the Eurasian Union. It's fine for me. And this will be the future. And there will be only Serbia as the last country in Europe which is not in NATO, not in EU, not in the Euro, which will have problems with labor market access. And we will also stop investing in Serbia in the terms of infrastructure. And you can ask the Chinese to build a small island in Serbia in the center of the Balkans. That's all fine. But it will happen exactly like this if you reject such a peace offer. And now also let's discuss if the Europeans will be ready to pay the necessary price. Price, I mean, to change a little bit, you know, the kind of structured and petrified system, how we do enlargement of the euro, of the labor market and of the EU, always in this kind of very old-fashioned, one by one, step by step, first this conditionality and everything. So this is also wrong. We have to somehow be more flexible in this more complicated third wave of enlargement. And we have to deploy our tools not in a kind of cadence of, let's wait for 50 years, as Macron has said, membership in 2030s, then you have the euro in the 2050s and labor market in the 2070s. Yeah? I mean, this is even Macron will be 100 in that kind of timeline. If we want to do business like that, this is totally wrong and we have to reject it. And we also have to take some resources and we also have to somehow change the process we normally do accession. Because it's more complicated countries, because we have also to be faster, and also we have to take some responsibility on the European continent. Can it be that always the Americans, yeah, who every 4 years are more interested, and then they are again less interested, Trump and Obama were less interested in Europe, yeah? Bush and Biden will be very interested. So on the coincidence of the American election outcome, the Americans take care of Europe and something happens, or not. And we are like the passive bystanders, onlookers, without any capacities to solve anything, just a little bit of paying, a little bit of advice, and that's it, what we can do for the Balkans and for Ukraine. And that's the Europe you want? That's the Europe we want? That's the Europe we built? While we are talking loftily about Euro sovereignty, about our great contribution for the world, yeah? Our contribution to global climate and peace, yeah? While we cannot even solve a Bosnian's EU accession, while we cannot make peace between Serbia and Kosovo, that's too complicated for us. Let's not forget, we have a dialogue, the EU, since 2011. It's now 10 years celebration of the start of the dialogue on the 8th of March. It started in 2011. That's now exactly, I recorded, 10 years. Yeah? And there was some achievements. Yeah, but where is the breakthrough? I mean, we can do some technical things in the energy market, fine, yeah, and some kind of transit papers and, you know, but for 10 years of work of our diplomats, actually, the situation is now much more complicated than it was 5 or 7 years ago. We have had a breakthrough in 2013, and now we have not to anyone since 2013, since the Brussels Agreement. I made a separate podcast about it. But just imagine, you know, we are so incapable while grandstanding on the global level, you know, the contribution of Europe to the world. Yeah, yes, and European sovereignty, I hear from Paris every day on Twitter. And we care for the Amazonas and for the palm oil in Indonesia and for peace in North Korea. And we have a peace plan for Iran. But we are incapable, paralyzed in Bosnia and Kosovo. We are not able to integrate North Macedonia. We are blocked by Bulgaria, our own member. We can do so little for Ukraine. And then you tell me European sovereignty. And the Americans let Europe deal with the Balkans? Ah, guys, is this the Europe anybody can dream of? Is this the capacity of the European Union, 450 million people? We just lost one country and we cannot regulate conclusively any of the remaining minor open issues. It's not time for military action or something big, yeah? It's not, we don't need to do major things, yeah? Just deploy our own instruments, the euro, the labor market, yeah? Like the normal things, we anyhow will be part of all the EU membership negotiations and the result of it. And we cannot integrate 17 million people after we just lost 67 million people because of the incompetence of our institutions. And I repeat, the incompetence of our institutions. We cannot do that. It's too complicated. We cannot explain it to the French public. So have already the extremists got the power in the Elysee? Is it already Mrs. Le Pen? Or is it already the AfD running Berlin? Or did the mainstream parties lose any convictions recently? Can you not go to the people and say, this is very good, North Macedonia, if you don't care, then please go there and learn? I mean, who really cares in Germany or France for the exact status of membership of North Macedonia so much? If you ask the people, they will probably not exactly know if where is the exact status of Croatia and Bulgaria or Montenegro. It's the elite's responsibility to unite Europe if you are a European elite. And if you're not, good, then change your profession. That's also entirely possible. There will be other people doing that job fine. So, 5th of March, it's a day to really reconsider the price for peace. Are we ready or are we too stingy? I have outlined it's entirely possible to have a settlement and a peace plan and a peace treaty by 2022, 2023. It's all easy. We don't need all the complicated issues. The rest can be in a big package going for arbitration for the next 20 years. Yeah, the ownership issues, the debt issues, yeah, and other issues of a separation of countries. This can be hanging on for the next 20 years or 100 years. It's anyhow hardly impossible to settle them at all. What we really need to do is to get the big things done. That's NATO, that's EU, that's the euro, and also the benefits of additional investment and of the labor market. And that's what the Serb middle classes want, and that's what the people of Kosovo and what the people of all the regions really want. And no European leader, also not Mr. Vucic, will be able to reject the euro, the labor market access, additional investment. It's simply impossible to say that. And there will be some violence, yes, good. That must be contained by the rule of law forces, and Serbia has enough of them. They are very highly trained and equipped. And then to make peace exactly that way and exactly that structure. And it's entirely possible, and that's what I call for. It's time for peace, and it's time for European responsibility in the Balkans, and it's time for American leadership to impose exactly that settlement on the Balkans and to take no for an answer. So that's the way for peace in the Balkans, and that's the way we have to do it. So thanks. Every 5th of March, think at least about the victims of Brekaz. You can see the videos. Today there will be a lot of ceremonies there, and maybe you take a look, Brekaz on YouTube or on any of the memorial sites on the internet. It's very important, I think, to remember that day always and for the long term as a symbol for the terrorist regime of Milosevic and also as a symbol for the liberation of Kosovo and also as a day for the remembrance of the victims and also for our own internal weaknesses and divisions in Europe, which has forced the people of the Balkans into these terrible confrontations, because we could have already in 91 confronted Milosevic. As I said already back then, in 91, we could have confronted him very clearly, and all these tragic victims in Bosnia, Croatia, and so on, would have lived and not died. And so much blood and treasure would have been saved with better, stronger European policy. And that's a pity. And think about that one as well, every 5th of March. That's important for better policy, for freedom, and for peace backed by NATO in Europe. So, thanks a lot. Thanks for listening. And please subscribe the button on the podcast. That would be very helpful. Thanks a lot.